Alright, is it starting? Yeah, it's starting. Alright, welcome to Jeeps Podcast. I have a special guest. Could you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Rebecca Nelson. I'm 19 years old. I'm a first year student here at Concordia. And Eureka is my good friend.
Sounds good. Alright, give me a second. I didn't take out my computer.
Oh my god.
So, Ms. Nelson, tell me a little about yourself.
I'm from Montana. I have one older sister who goes to NDSU. I like the outdoors. I like going on drives. I like reading, watching movies, hanging out with friends, all the things.
Sounds pretty good. So we did do a brief talk before this, and we discussed about your life story and everything that's going on. Part of the reason why I chose you is because I thought you had a story and thought you were strong mentally. So we're going to get on this journey of figuring out how you got to the point you're at now. So, tell me a little about your childhood. How was that like?
Well, my childhood, I went to a daycare for the first, I'd say, 10 years of my life. So, up until I was 10, I went to a daycare. And the daycare was both emotionally and physically abusive. And both my parents worked quite a bit, so I didn't see them often. And my dad's parents died when he was young. And my mom's dad died when I was young. And so my grandma, from my mom's side, is the only one who really I talk to. But she lives in Idaho, so like I really did not see family. I don't have a big family. I wasn't around family a lot when I was younger.
Okay. So when you were younger, your first couple of years, tell me how you felt, like, as a kid, did you feel supported? Did you feel like you were alone, isolated? What was that like for you mentally?
As a kid, I, for the most part, remember being happy. I don't remember feeling alone or sad or not supported. I still feel like I had a pretty good childhood, regardless of maybe the situation.
Okay, so then since you remember mostly that you were happy and supported, you feel that you had a good relationship with pretty much everybody that was involved in your life at that time?
Yeah.
Was that a time in your life where you'd say you felt complete and like you felt like you were fulfilled in a way, or like you were 100%, if you get what I mean?
Yeah, I do, but I feel like when I'm that age, though, like, I can't really say that I feel like I felt complete. I didn't even know what that meant.
Yes, I mean, complete, I mean, you do get the sense of it later, or understanding it later. But, I mean, as a kid, where some kids get neglected, and they kind of have that, they grow with this kind of a void, almost, or like a sense of not belonging. Is that something that ever was prominent in your childhood, or do you remember just being happy for the most part?
I feel like I remember just being happy for the most part.
Okay. So coming out of your childhood, teen phase-ish, so like middle school period,
mm-hmm.
How was that like for you?
My first I feel like all throughout middle school, like mentally, I was pretty good still. But that's definitely when, like, the struggle started to filter in, especially towards the end of my eighth grade year.
Okay. In the prior talk that we had, you had mentioned that you and your sister were close, and then when she went on to high school, you're in middle school, you kind of got distant because she kind of got into this phase of figuring herself out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like a part of you was gone now that your sister and you were not as close anymore at that time?
I think so. I think I was very confused as to why she would want to put us through kind of what we went through. But yeah, I was still pretty young and I didn't really understand fully what was going on. So, if that answers.
Okay, so then how was your relationship with friends at the time, now that your sister, who was really close to you, was kind of gone? And in the previous talk, she kind of became the troubled child, naturally enough, making your parents see you better, almost,
mm-hmm.
as a kid than her. With that aspect of your sister being gone, you lost this part of yourself. Did you feel like you had to attach to friends at school to kind of fill that gap up?
No. I wouldn't say I attached to friends. I don't really get attached to people. That's just not who I am. Or friends, I guess I should say. Well, I didn't at that age.
Okay.
I can now, but I didn't
at that age. Okay.
I don't want to be contradicting. But I did still have a good relationship with friends at that age, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I know earlier I mentioned that, like, my sixth grade year, I kind of got bullied a little bit, and that's when friend troubles kind of happened, but it got resolved, and 7th and 8th grade, like, friends were fun.
Okay. So now we get to high school, and you go through a phase. What was that phase like?
I go through a phase. Like...
You got to high school, you started going through what your sister was going through.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she's in college now. How was that affecting you mentally and, like, knowing yourself and who you are? Or how much impact did it cause on your self-identity?
I feel like it impacted it pretty heavily. Like, my high school years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like high school is when my depression started to increase, and same with my anxiety. And so I feel like it wasn't until my senior year that I was getting help. And so those first 3 years, I was completely lost. And so I feel like, yeah, those, my high school phase, as you called it, would probably have a pretty big impact on who I am right now.
Okay, so you go through a depression in high school, or it hits you really hard in high school.
Yeah.
And then you kind of start becoming more introverted and more held back.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Did you feel like you were a loner now, or did you feel like nobody cared enough about you, or did you feel like nobody gets what you're feeling? Why the isolation?
Yeah, I just felt like no one could understand what I was going through. And because I had this expectation that I felt like my parents looked at me as kind of this, like, golden child or somebody they don't have to worry about. I didn't want to talk to them about my struggles with mental health because I didn't want them to worry, because I thought that they had expected me to be kind of perfect in a sense. And so I feel like that's kind of the root of the isolation, was just feeling like I had to put on this facade of acting like everything was fine. And also I felt like my depression wasn't serious enough to get help. I thought that other people had it way worse than I did, and I was kind of being a baby about it. And so I feel like that's kind of the main reason why I isolated and didn't reach out for help.
So in the middle of all of that, and that's going on, were you then kind of trying to, well, none of us were completely figured out in high school.
Right.
But some people had a sense, or some people thought they did figure themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
Some people did feel like they had an identity. Did you feel like you were any particular way, as in, like, did you feel like you had an identity, or were you just trying to, like, live up to certain images or pictures? Like you said, your parents
attributed
a golden child.
No, I definitely did not have any sort of identity.
Okay.
My senior year, yes, it started to form, I think. But the first 3 years, no, I was definitely just living my life the way I thought I should and the way I thought people wanted me to.
Okay. And then, so you mentioned that you had a new group of friends that you met through high school.
Yeah.
How did they contribute to your self-identity? Did they help you figure out who you were, who you are?
Sorry. Yeah, in a way, because I would say the two friends that you're talking about, I assume, that I had met my sophomore year, I don't even think they realized it, but without realizing it, I think they showed me what a healthy friendship looks like, since I had been in a toxic one for so long. And they helped me realize that the person I called my best friend at the time was not a best friend, and I needed to get out of that. And so I feel like they kind of helped me take that first step into forming my identity and getting out of a toxic situation.
So they started helping you see what a healthy relationship looks like and what a friendship should look like, because you came from a toxic one.
Yeah.
Excuse me. In the time that you were in a toxic relationship and friendships, did you at the time realize that this is toxic, or is it kind of something later on that you look back at and you're like, oh?
No, it's something I look back on.
And something.
I'm like, oh, that wasn't cool.
So in the moment, all of that seemed normal, and it was just kind of how friends are. And
yeah.
Okay. With that then being the case, did you feel like you were, and you can stop me if I'm getting too personal, but did you feel like you were worthless, or like you had no value while being in the toxic relationship?
Yeah.
And that's how you felt throughout that phase?
Yeah.
So when then you went through this toxic relationship, and it put you through the big umbrella's depression, and then there's many phases, and then there's a toxic phase, and then now your friends come.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start showing you that. Did you then start getting a sense that, oh, I matter, and you started kind of putting yourself on a pedestal a little bit, kind of people can't cross this line, or you can't talk to me in this type of way, or you get what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I think, yes, that did happen, but not as quick as maybe you make it sound. I don't know, that just sounded like a very quick, like, I'm in a toxic friendship, and then now I'm just this person who can't be stepped on.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, when I realized I was in that toxic friendship, because that girl had been my best friend for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was who I identified myself as, was the person who was best friends with this girl. And so when I removed myself from that friendship, I had felt like I had lost a part of me, and I felt completely like lost all over again in a way. And so it was kind of rebuilding that void in me, is maybe when I started to realize, okay, yeah, I don't like to be talked to this way, and my knowledge of self-worth kind of increased, you could say.
So you're a pretty independent person now.
Yeah.
But it seems like from when you started off in your childhood being close to your sister, losing your sister, when you got to middle school and she's in high school,
mm-hmm.
you kind of felt like you lost a piece of yourself. And then in middle school, you had friends that you were with for 6 years up until high school. And then when you lost them for that time in between before you got the new friends that you had, you kind of felt as well lost again because it was friends for a long time. When did that, what's the word? Or did that come to my independent stage start coming? Like when you were like, I don't need anybody for me to feel complete.
Well, I've talked about this with my therapist before, but I was always independent.
Okay.
Even though it might not seem like it, but like just things I would do when I was a little kid, that like I dressed myself at a super young age, I did my own hair, I would walk to school, and like I could just do things that maybe a normal child wouldn't normally start to do until later. And I was very loud about my thoughts and opinions when I was a kid. That's what my parents say anyways. And so I think my independence, it's always been in there. It's just been like crowded by toxic friends and things like that. So I feel like, to answer your question, I think my like senior year, or when I met my best friend now, that's when kind of my independence started to come back.
So you were kind of always of a, well, I got my friends and people I kind of depend on, but if need be, I can be on my own and it's just fine. It's just kind of a, it's people you trusted and been with for a long time. And
mm-hmm.
then when you, all right, that's understandable. And then when you meet the best friend that you have currently from Montana,
mm-hmm.
How does that friendship then help? I know you mentioned that she kind of like forced herself in.
Mm-hmm.
How did you see it when she was kind of like trying to break down your walls? Pause.
I think at first I was annoyed, because I'm like, who is this girl that I just met? I've known her like a month and she won't let me like be alone. But then after a little while, I started to realize that she just genuinely cared about me and wanted to be my friend. And so I think, yeah, what was your question? I completely forgot it.
You answered it. My question was...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure, because I feel like I have an issue with not answering your question.
You answered it.
Okay.
All right, so then now you formed that friendship with your friend.
Yeah.
And now you're up until junior, senior year. We mentioned earlier that you dropped basketball.
Yep.
You felt expectations got too high, and maybe you didn't want to be as good or as bona fide as people wanted you to be. How did it affect you losing something that you played for so long, and then you have to stop because you don't want all these expectations?
Yeah, quitting basketball was probably when I was my worst mentally, because that was something I had always enjoyed playing since I could pick up a basketball. And I think that almost sent me down into a spiral. But that's when my current best friend and getting help came into play and really helped me kind of reform my identity, I guess, in a way, or just kind of bring out other parts of me that are still there that I forgot about because it was overshadowed by school and basketball and things like that.
Okay. So when you started getting help, did you realize prior to the help that, did you start realizing yourself or start getting your self-identity kind of figured out, and you're like, I want to make the step, but I don't know how to? So you reached out for help, or what was the cause for you to want to get help?
Well, my parents had kind of been begging me to for half a year, and I always said no because I was introverted. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't think anyone would understand. I didn't think I deserved the help. And I have a really hard time asking for help in general. And so I kind of was like, no, I'm going to fix myself. And so I tried to work out, eat healthy, meet new people, do things that would supposedly help you mentally. But I still felt lost, and I had no idea why I was still feeling so sad. And so finally I just was like, okay, I'll try and get help. I don't know, it was just kind of an instinct. It wasn't a big plan where I was like, okay, now is the next step is help. It was just one day I just told my mom, yeah, I'll get help.
Okay, that's very brave, because a lot of people won't admit to wanting help ever, and I'd rather just, I mean, you even have adults that grow into their late lives and parents that have, they still don't know who they are because they want to get help.
Yeah.
So you come now to college. It's 12 hours away from home because you're from Montana.
Mm-hmm.
We can kind of see eye to eye in that because you're so far away from home.
Yeah.
And then you leave everyone that you've known and all the relationships that you built behind. How did that, of course you knew that you were signing up to this going so far away from home. Did that affect you mentally? Is it kind of a decision that you wanted to make for yourself? Just let's see how this works out far away from home. Or was it just kind of a just factor of scholarships and whatnot thing, so you came here?
Yeah, I think part of me did want to branch out and leave and just kind of meet new people and start over. I don't think that I would have, I guess it just depended more on scholarships and stuff, but I did like the fact that I was being so far away from home.
Mm-hmm. So with then being so far away from home and you come here, you liked it, you wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it didn't affect you mentally being far away from, of course it affected you, but did it not send you down to a spiral of oh my gosh, I'm all alone?
No, it did.
Okay.
But when I was still feeling like completely lost when I got here, in the back of my head, I knew I would still have this feeling even if I was at home.
Okay.
I wasn't feeling lost because of the lack of like people that I knew around me. It was just definitely internal.
Okay. So you come and then you meet a very loud group because of orientation.
Yeah.
You come across a very loud group. And by the time we're in the third day, almost everybody's loud at this point. I'm loud. Matt is loud. Which are the friends that you have now currently from the group.
Mm-hmm.
How were you then feeling being an introvert, having such in-your-face people all over you? Was it terrifying or was it just...
Not terrifying. I think it can be a good balance in moderation. Definitely my social battery drains a lot quicker when I have people in my face all the time. So yeah, orientation week, I was definitely exhausted just socially, but yeah.
So then you meet your best friend here, Ava.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably the one friend or one of the two friends that you have today from the orientation group, being Gannon and Ava, that are like not in your face loud. Okay.
Yeah.
Or like not as outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
Were you kind of, did you get the, because your friendship with Ava formed really quick.
Right.
As compared to your friends from home, even your best friend from home. Was it because you guys kind of clicked in that she wasn't as loud as everyone as well? Or what kind of made you guys?
Yeah, I think, her not being as loud, but also we just, we have the same humor. We see similar, like, we just see eye to eye on a lot of things. And I don't know, we just have a very healthy relationship, I feel like.
And then you have Matthew.
Yeah.
Who is extremely loud.
Mm-hmm.
And is truly an extrovert.
Yeah.
At heart. How did that cause a click between you guys being polar opposites?
I honestly, like, don't even know why Matt and I became friends. I don't know. But we are. And now that we are friends, I see that we have a lot of differences, but we also have quite a few similarities. And we also share the same humor, I feel like,
mm-hmm.
most of the time. So.
Just thought of something. always. And then with me, I was kind of as well in everyone's face and everyone's dorm.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into orientation on everybody's faces, just loud, being a clown and everything.
Mm-hmm.
How was it then? Because I thought you hated me, honestly.
Yeah.
How then did... I guess I don't even know the answer to this question, but I'm still asking you anyway. How did you then come to see eye to eye?
How did we?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like I mentioned before, you kind of forced yourself into my life, definitely, because you were just constantly either knocking on my door or hitting me up, asking me, what are the moves? So I feel like you kind of did the same thing where you just, like, forced yourself into my life, and then once we actually started talking, like, we just... actually got along.
All right, so then with Is there anybody else that you're kind of, well, I'd consider like Gan and me, Matt, Ava, like probably your closest circle in college. Of course, you have other friends, mm-hmm. probably your closest circle.
Yeah.
How is that? I mean, we haven't fully become extremely tight, like brothers and sisters, as in I trust fall.
Yeah, right. Trust.
But how has that helped you mentally and knowing or figuring yourself out and in that journey? How has that affected you? I knew it'd be a good question because Matt and I often are the ones that say outrageous stuff and probably have said stuff that we don't remember that could probably potentially affect how people view themselves, what they think of themselves.
Yeah.
Because of ignorance of what we're saying.
Right.
So how was, like, all of that just affected?
I think being friends with you, Matt, Ava, and Gannon, you've all shown me in different ways. How, I guess I could say, you've all shown me what my worth is in a way, and also has like shown that like I truly don't care what people think, because a lot of the time, like you said, what you and Matt talk about sometimes, it's just complete ignorance,
mm-hmm.
and normally I feel like would definitely possibly hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah.
But you guys don't, because I am just secure in myself. And so I guess every person that I'm friends with right now has helped me realize that I am secure in myself and I really don't care what people think.
Okay. So when you get, this is a new part of this that we didn't see in high school. Where you felt secure. It mm-hmm. kind of started in high school. In college is where it's kind of cementing.
Sure.
Was that because of having such ignorant people around you that say stuff that are sometimes outrageous or shouldn't be said in a public setting?
Mm-hmm.
Or certain comments that shouldn't be made when there is certain people around.
Right.
Is that kind of what started? And then later you see that we were, sometimes you don't even remember what we said or, like, have no clue what we were saying at the time. Was that kind of something that was, like, helped you realize, like, oh, not everything everyone says is meant. So you kind of started not taking certain things as seriously as you used to or, like...
No.
No?
I don't think so. I think that if my security in myself kind of wasn't formed prior to meeting you guys, then I probably wouldn't be friends with you guys because of the ignorance that comes with being friends with you. And so I feel like just the ignorance like helped shine a light on like, oh yeah, I am secure in myself, and it helps mm-hmm. remind me that I am secure, but I don't think it helped form the security, if that makes okay. sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
That kind of was like a test for yourself. I was like,
yeah.
Oh no, that's not true, or like, oh no, I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you feel like you're at now mentally? Going forward, do you feel like you're in a good place, huge steps? Or do you feel like you're getting there now, or do you feel figured out, or what is it now? What stage are we on?
I definitely am getting better,
mm-hmm.
not 100%, but steps are being made and progress is being made, and I'm continuing to work hard to have a healthy mindset and mental health. So I'd say that's where I'm at.
That's where you're at?
Yep.
All right, sounds good, Miss Nelson. It was a good talk talking to you. And again, this is the Jeeps podcast. Mm. First and only.
Right.
If,
it's an honor.
Right, it was an honor being on here, of course. And if you wish to hear more of this, email me and we can talk prices and payments. And we'll see if we can make this happen again. And coming from Eureka, so long.